Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome Chief Evangelist at BombBomb, co-author of Rehumanize Your Business, and host of the Customer Experience podcast, Ethan Buse, to the show. Now, Ethan is here to share tips and advice on how to rehumanize your business. Ethan has collected and told personal video success stories in hundreds, I've been watching them, of blog posts in dozens of webinars, podcasts, and stage presentations, and in countless conversations. He spent a dozen years leading marketing teams inside local television stations in Chicago, Grand Rapids, and Colorado Springs. His undergraduate and graduate degrees from the University of Michigan and UCCS in communication, psychology, and marketing were conferred in the highest distinction. Ethan, welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Denise. I really appreciate that nice introduction. I appreciate the invite.
When I started watching what you're doing and realizing how you were really connecting and networking with people using personal videos, not YouTube videos and, you know, not the normal kind of videos that we're told and kind of admonished that we have to have handy, it's very different what you're doing. And I like your process a lot better, or your way of communicating makes a lot of sense to me. So before we get started, tell people a bit about yourself, and then we're going to just dive into it.
Sure. Again, my name's Ethan Bute. I live in Colorado Springs, which is a very nice and easy place to live with my wife and my son. I've been here at BombBomb. We're a software company. I've been with the team over 8 years full-time and about 10 years in total, because I was doing project work with the co-founders prior to joining them. And I love to spend time outside, and I love to help people get face-to-face using not just our software, but really any software. I mean, there are a lot more competitors in the space that we pioneered with and through and for our customers over the past several years than before. And I'm just really excited about this opportunity to make our personal and professional lives a little bit more personal, a little bit more human, a little bit more often.
And, you know, when I started out, and I'm glad you said it that way, because when I started out, you know, I went to college, got my computer science degree. Not worth a darn thing, by the way. So it was, I loved it, but who cares? I mean, really, nobody cares. And I didn't take it and go work for somebody else with it. I worked for myself. So, again, not worth a darn thing, but I learned a lot as I went. But when I started, it was very rigid. It was very static how we built websites. WordPress didn't exist. YouTube didn't exist. I think MySpace might have existed. I mean, this was kind of back in the back dark ages, and it wasn't that long ago, to be honest. And we were not told or even allowed to really get personal or humanize anything. And I tell this all the time, but, you know, if you would find a website that had an image on it, and those were rare because graphical user interface didn't exist as we now know it, and you would see that very staid picture of somebody looking like they were a banker, even if they weren't, you know, with their little three-piece suit and standing behind a leather chair with their grandfather's portrait behind them. That was it. I mean, remember those days? I mean, everybody had to have that kind of, you know, I'm a business person, whether you're a woman or a man, you had to look like you were very business-related. We don't necessarily have to do that anymore. And I find, and you have clearly found, that people want to be connected to, not at, they want to be connected to. So tell us how you came to do the things that you do. I find the whole thing fascinating. And by the way, I don't do video. I don't do YouTube. So this is even more fascinating to me.
Sure. And I love what you just teed up there. I call that like acting as if. You know, for so long, we had to act as if we were this alternate version of ourselves, that we could be taken seriously and we'd be legitimate and trustworthy and credible. And really, it's so far gone. We're so far past that. And thankfully, I feel like a lot of what we're doing, it has momentum behind it in like a pendulum swing back type thing where, you know, we don't want to connect with these big faceless brands. We want to connect to the people behind them. Now, this isn't in every case. You know, there are some products and services that are essentially commodity or they're mass. You know, I don't need it. I don't need to have a friend at Spotify or have a friend at Amazon to do business with them. But in so many of the businesses that I deal with, you know, whether it's a software company, you know, that's trying to build relationships with the four or five decision makers on the other side, and it's, say, a four, five, six-figure annual deal, like, you don't need to act like you're some, you know, whatever a software executive is supposed to act like. You need to connect with and build relationships with other people. And so, you know, the line that we started drawing, I'm going to transition to video here because, you know, hopefully people understand and accept that you can be who you are and be accepted for who you are and to be celebrated for who you are. And most importantly, that you can celebrate who other people are and make them feel like superstars. And that's how we win in life in general. It's a more satisfying way to approach our work. And it's just a really, really winning play. And so, you know, for us, when we came into the video space, we, you know, people immediately associated, you know, professional video or business video with scripts and lights and editing and production and YouTube channels and homepage videos and kind of the proxy for it. You know, most new channels and new media are seen through the lens of the previous one, which is why some people still treat email like direct mail. Just because I have the address means I can just blast whatever I want at it, which of course is not a winning approach to the channel of email. But, you know, we view these things the way, you know, the predecessors taught us to view them. And in this case, the predecessor was the television commercial or the film trailer or something like that, where we feel like it needs lights and scripts and editing and production and green screens and makeup and all these other things. And that's fine. If you're using that kind of video, you can still generate great results with it, no matter what channel you want to put it on, whether you want to, you know, have a nice explainer video on your homepage, whether you want to have a nice, highly produced onboarding video series for your new customers or whatever the case may be. If you want to go down that road, we call it marketing through video. If you want to do marketing through video or you're already doing it, that's great. You should continue doing it. But if you're sitting on the video sidelines, because you feel like, I don't know what to say, I don't know anything about the equipment, I don't have this budgeted, I don't even know how to hire a videographer, much less a video producer, I don't know if I have the resources to sustain a healthy YouTube channel, and all these other things that hold people up, we have an opportunity for you, and we call it relationships through video. This is lightweight, casual, conversational, unscripted, honest, authentic, raw, whatever you want to call it. These are simple webcam and smartphone videos. And their goal isn't to, in one swoop, completely sell your company and get someone to get their credit card number out for you. The goal is just to communicate with people more effectively, to connect with people more effectively, and to improve your conversion. And by conversion, I don't mean a traditional sales and marketing conversion per se. I'm just using that as a proxy for all the yeses that we need to get the ultimate yes, the micro yeses that include things like an email reply or a returned phone call or a click through to RSVP for the event or to take the survey or whatever the case may be, all the way up to the macro yes or the macro conversion of, you know, a commitment, a signed contract, whatever that looks like for you and your business. And we find that when you stop relying exclusively on plain typed out text. Think about all the times that you click send today. It's the same black text on the same white screen. It doesn't differentiate you. It doesn't build trust and rapport. In fact, our brains, and we lean on some research in the book, Rehumanize Your Business, about how our brains don't even acknowledge that that black text on a white screen was written by a human being, which is to say nothing of its other shortcomings, including giving away control over how it's read, you know? So if I type up an email and send it to you, Denise, and, you just found out that a really good friend of yours had a massive success in his or her life and you're just feeling really, really good, you're going to read my email differently than if I sent you an email and you opened it up and it came right on the heels of you maybe, because none of us is perfect. I don't mean to denigrate your professionalism in any way, but let's say you drop the ball on something and you're feeling guilty or embarrassed or that you need to make something up, or like, you know, if you're in a negative state of mind for any reason, that is cast on the plain words I send on the screen. And so, you know, as we think about all the times we click send, we're entrusting our most important and our most valuable messages to a form of communication that doesn't do its job nearly as well as we do. In our businesses,
it really
and in our lives. Right. It's
it
about
really
human connection.
I know. And, you know, going back to email, I tend to be, I try not to be sardonic. It's not a nice thing to do, but I tend to be, sarcastic rather, but I tend to be a bit sardonic. I just find humor in the darndest places. And when I'm sending out emails, I have to check them and recheck them to make sure I'm not coming off as kind of an ass. Because what I may think is funny or, you know, sardonic and people ought to get it, they're not going to get it. So, yeah, I completely understand it.
Yeah, and the emoji, by the way, if you wanted to make it clear whether
you're joking or serious,
frankly. Well, in addition, they don't work. We lean on some of
they're
that
annoying.
Research as well. But, yeah, well, they add more confusion than they actually help, in part because, you know, different devices and different operating systems send the same emoji in a different way. And so that can lead to even more confusion. And it just doesn't solve the problem. So the problem is that we're entrusting our most important and valuable messages to a form of communication that doesn't fit who we are as fellow human beings and social creatures. And so that's where we see this lightweight video that's really functionally, it's as simple as a voicemail, right? You know who you need to call, you know what you want to say, you know what you need them to know, and you know what they want, you know what you want them to do next, or you know what they need to do next. And so this is the same thing. It's, you know, instead of typing up a 3, 4, 5 paragraph email that you don't really want to write and the other person doesn't really want to read, you just talk to people, which is where we hear things like, this makes what I do fun again, in addition to, of course, getting some better results.
Exactly. So how did you, you mentioned earlier, Ethan, that, you know, I think you guys were kind of the forerunner of this, and of course now it's a crowded space. It happens. I started as a podcaster 11 years ago, and I was pretty much on a desert island all by myself, or at least it felt
yes,
that way.
Yes, you were. Yeah, you're a
pioneer. And I'm telling you. And I just did it. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I get to meet people like you every Friday. I've got no complaints. But there was nobody to teach me anything. I just had to do it, fall on my face, pick myself back up, and go do it again the next Friday. But the thing is, when, and I just lost my train of thought, but what I was going to say, I think, is that when you, oh, I know what it was, Ethan, I'm sorry, my brain just took off. And you ever have those open refrigerator door moments where you open the refrigerator and you go blank?
Yeah, there's something
that
in here.
That just happened to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't in front of the refrigerator, but that's what it felt like. But you had said that you guys were kind of the forerunners of this. And what started it? I mean, how did you decide that this was a really great idea? Because it is. What was there any kind of prompt, or you were following along and realizing that people just didn't get what you were trying to get them to understand? How did this all take place?
Great question, and I'm glad you asked, because I find it really, really interesting, and not just because it's, you know, a story that I'm involved in. I just think it's an interesting story. So our two co-founders are friends, and they were sales and marketing guys. They were not tech guys. They weren't software guys. I mean, they were obviously tech savvy and astute, but, you know, they were sales and marketing guys. They were in One of them was selling billboards or outdoor advertising for Lamar Advertising, one of the big billboard companies, and they dominate the Colorado Springs market. They have like over 90% of the inventory. In any case, you know, like any junior salesperson, he inherited just enough customer accounts to, you know, pay his rent, essentially. And because he was really good at the work, and he's a, you know, a great relationship builder, and he was clever at integrating, you know, billboards with other media and things like this to help companies make the most of the opportunity, he grew his list to a point where he couldn't stay in front of people as often as he wanted to. And so he knew that when people were signing contracts with him for, say, you know, four X-size billboards over the next X number of months or years, they knew that they weren't just buying the advertising positions. He knew that they were buying him. He knew that they were buying access to him and the relationship to him and his strategy and the way he made them feel about themselves and about their business and all these other things. And he just understood that intuitively, and it occurred to him that he wasn't getting face-to-face with people as often as he wanted to. And, you know, he was only selling around the Pikes Peak region. You know, to go from one customer who's on the far end of the market to the other end was like maximum, you know, a 90-minute drive. But even then, you know, you can't just drive around all day and see everybody, especially if you need to, like, maintain a schedule and make sure each person's available. So he thought, this is back in 2006, he thought, what if I could just send myself in an email? What if I could just, you know, upload a video and send it in an email? And, you know, at the time, the iPhone didn't exist. YouTube was under a year old and had not yet been purchased by Google. Facebook was still primarily on college campuses. Like, this wasn't really a thing. And so he Googled it and couldn't find a good way to do it, which was still surprising to him at the time. And so he and Connor McCluskey and Darren Dawson tried to find, you know, technologists essentially to do it with their guidance and recommendations to be involved in it. And, you know, through some fits and starts, couldn't get anyone to do it. So they're like, you know, we'll just figure out how to build software and get email delivered. And the interesting thing was, at the time, this was essentially like a Constant Contact or a MailChimp, but completely oriented around video. You know, to make video primary to, you know, the process of making these emails and sending them out and tracking the results. And you have the video tracking right there next to the open rates and click rates and things. And as the web tools became more available, so they built the live recorder. So instead of having to record a video with a camera, because again, the iPhone didn't exist in 2006 and it didn't have a video camera until its second iteration, you know, you had to have some kind of a video camera, record it, upload it somewhere and host it. So they took care of the hosting piece of it. But as soon as we were able to build a live video recorder, now you could just sit at your desk with your webcam and live record videos in. You didn't need that extra layer that would slow you down and drag out the process and add time and expense to it. And so that rapidly picked up. And then one of our developers figured out how to build an integration inside the Gmail inbox. So now you could do it directly in a Gmail email. We built a
You're
Google
kidding.
Chrome extension. No, and then built,
I didn't
you know,
know
mobile
that.
Apps. Yeah, so
as
all these opportunities to put the video recording and sending and tracking into more places, it all of a sudden became this really lightweight thing, which is now anywhere I want to be to record and send a video, I can do it easily without the time and expense of upload it to YouTube, market to private because it's not for my channel, it's just for these three people. Screenshot the video so people know they're getting a video, drop the screenshot into the email, link the screenshot back over to the YouTube video. But now when I send it out and people click it, they're watching the video on YouTube. And what happens at the end of a YouTube video? It pops up 85 more videos to watch. So it's no longer adjacent to my email signature and whatever my call to action is. And so, you know, they just took on the opportunity to solve all of that to make it really fast and easy. And so I'll just button it up here with this offering. We've got about 1,000 people in our customer base who have sent 1,000 or more videos each. I've personally sent more than 10,000 videos. And what I always say is you don't send your 1,000th video if the 999 before it were not fast and easy to do. And you don't send your 1,000th video if the 999 videos you sent before it didn't give you a better outcome, if it was not a better way to communicate. And so it's fast and easy to do, and it's effective.
So basically, when you're doing this kind of thing, you need to be tracking. You need to make sure it's, I mean, it sounds like a easy way to do things. It sounds like a fun way to do things, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And I would think that it does work, but what happens if somebody comes to you and says, I can't get anybody to, you know, follow through. I can't get them to call me. What are they doing wrong? And they've got to be doing something. Maybe it's the messaging, but I'm sure you've come across people like that who's like, this isn't working. What do we do next? Or you probably
Great
came
question.
Across that when you first started at any rate.
Yeah, we run into it all the time, and I'll point to two main observations or recommendations. The first is that if you are not very good at communicating in a sales or marketing or customer service or customer support capacity, if you are generally selfish, if you're generally not getting very good results from your email today because the messaging is poor or it's self-motivated or you're not very good at targeting, being relevant, et cetera, adding a video is not going to do a lot for you. And so if you're getting terrible results now, video can help, but the primary issue isn't text or pictures or animated GIFs or videos or whatever. The problem is, are you sending the right messages to the right people, right? And so
targeting,
you need to get the blocking
right.
and tackling right. Correct, right. So
yeah,
if you,
we're
going to
talk
go,
about that
go
more,
side.
So let's not forget.
Sure. And so let's just assume that the blocking and tackling is pretty good. Another assumption that people make when they start getting engaged on this is, well, you know, I took the time to make the video. Why wouldn't everybody watch it? And so if we're honest with ourselves, you know, there's no expectation of a 100% open rate, and there's no expectation of 100% play rate, and there's no expectation of 100% reply rate. But there's something about this new style of using video, specifically adding video to it, lightweight webcam and smartphone videos, that gives people this feeling of, well, I took the time to do this, why wouldn't they engage? And so that question is, and this is going to be very practical. So if people are looking for practical advice, here's an element of it. You're asking the wrong question when you ask, you know, why didn't he open my email or why didn't she play my video? And the reason it's the wrong question is that it is backward looking. And so this ties a little bit to the first observation. If instead you ask yourself, why would or why should he open my email? Why would they play my video? Why would she respond to this email? When you make it more forward-looking, you're also baking in some customer empathy. When you think about what's in it for the recipient, and this isn't just about video and video email. This is about any communication and marketing you're doing at all, or a sales presentation or anything else. What's in it for the other person? A, it gives you a future orientation that affects the way that you do the work. It affects the subject line you write. It affects the email you write. It affects the video record. You're doing it in the spirit of service and customer empathy, and it's forward-looking at the same time. So the best question to ask is, why would or why should someone engage with this, participate with it? I mean, we are all busy. I don't care what business you're in. I don't care what role you're in. You are no more and no less busy than the other person on average. If you're investing in yourself by listening to a podcast like this one, looking to learn and grow and be better, you're probably in a situation where you have a lot of demands on your time, and so do your recipients. And so this idea that everyone's just going to automatically do what you want them to do, of course, is not the reality. And so we need to put ourselves in other people's shoes. And when you do that in advance, you're going to record a better video. You're going to write a better email, and you're going to write a better subject line. Last tip here. Another reason I see people saying, gosh, I'm not getting the results I want with video email is they think sending a video on its own is enough. And so what I always recommend is at least one line of text before the video to give someone a reason or to provoke curiosity or to promise a specific piece of value or a piece of information that they're going to get by watching the video. Encourage someone to watch the video. Just give them a reason. It doesn't even have to be a good one. There's research in the book on that too. It's the, I forget the author's name, but it involves a copier. And they were trying to, never mind, I won't give that piece of research. It's in the book if you want to see it. And it's a kind of a popular, it's the copier study. You don't need a good reason. You just need to give a reason. And people are much, much more compliant with your request. So one, tell them why they should watch the video or give them a reason or a provocation. And then after the video, give another line of text to drive whatever the call to action is. Do you want them to reply to the email? Do you want them to click a link to RSVP or to register or to give you some feedback or to go check out a page on the website or whatever? Do you want them to give you a return phone call? Whatever the call to action is, support it not just in the video, but also in a line of text. So if someone's just quick scanning it and they say, oh, I can't watch this 48-second video right now, they at least know that there's value in the video and they know what they're supposed to do next. And so that will make you, that combination of factors, relevance, targeting, specificity, thinking about what's in it for the customer and supporting the video with text are all things that, as long as you're mindful of, you don't have to like go through a rigorous 18-point process every time you want to send an email or a video email. But if you start to become mindful of these things, they'll start to become habitual, and you'll find that you're much more successful, not just with your video emails, but with any of the communication that you're producing and distributing.
Exactly. And I love what you said about the call to action. That is overlooked so often, and I'm not quite sure. My voice is raspy. I apologize. And I apologize for speaking over you earlier. I try not to do that, but I managed it. I don't know why people leave off the call to action, because we are busy. We do need you to go, hey, I need you to do this, or I would like for you to do this, or would you do this? And I don't know if it's just the ask. People don't want to be pushy, but the ask is important. And you said a couple of other things that I wanted to ask you about. Videos tend, normal videos, the ones that people will send and say, oh, you know, this is how you do blah, 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 blah. If they're over a minute, I'm not going to watch them. I'll be very frank with you. I'm not going to watch them. I don't have the time or the energy level for it. Just tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. So my question is have you landed on what a really good length is for, you know, one of these personal videos? I mean, obviously, if you're talking to a client and they're expecting more information from you, that's personalized. But if you're targeting to a group of people, is there kind of a guideline over how long you should, you know, be in their email or talking at them or to them?
It's a great question. You already partly answered it. Your instinct is right on that. And the way I always answer this is because it's a very common question. There's an inverse relationship between how targeted and specific the video is and how long the video can or should be. If it is to a list of 5,262 past clients or potential customers or whatever the case may be, you know, if it's for 500 people or if it's for 50 people, and it's a more generalized message, I always shoot to keep it under 1 minute. The only time I'll ever re-record a video is not if I say or I pause and gather a thought or anything like that. The only reason I'll ever re-record a video is if I know I can deliver the same message in less time out of respect for the viewer, right? So if I do a video and it takes me a minute and 20 seconds to explain something or to pitch something or to answer a question, but I know I get done recording and I know that I could do it in 45 seconds, I'll redo it, especially if it's for a group of people. So the larger the audience and the more general the audience, the shorter the video should be. And I always shoot for under a minute, because in this scenario, typically the video is a means to an end. There's something else that needs to happen or that you want to have happen. And it could be going to watch a longer video. And the goal of your shorter video isn't to explain everything that the longer video does. It's to pre-qualify people so that they know what they're going to get if they click through and watch the 4.5-minute video that teaches them X, Y, or Z. And so now let's go to the other side. We do some business with, for example, real estate agents. And we can talk about the types of people and the roles that use this. It's really almost anyone working in a professional capacity can benefit from using some video in place of some of their typed out text. But, you know, we committed to the real estate community several years ago. We just found a really good product market fit. And at one point it was as big as, you know, 40 or 50% of our business. It's less so now, but we still have a lot of great relationships in that community. So imagine now that you're a real estate agent. You've been helping a couple find their perfect next home. Let's say their kids just left the home and they're looking to downsize, and you know the price range, you know the neighborhood, you know a couple of the must-have features, you know a couple of the it would be really nice to have features, and a new home comes on the market, but the couple is in Europe for 2 weeks. If you just got out your iPhone and you walked and talked this property and say, hey, Bob and Mary, it's Ethan. Gosh, I hope you're having a great time. I think by now you should probably be in the Cinque Terre. I'm sure it's gorgeous there this time of year. Hope you're doing well. Hey, we've been working together for a few months now, and I have a great opportunity for you. Just watch this. And you walk and talk the property for 10 minutes. That video could not be more relevant. It could not be more specific. It could not be more targeted. You're not sending them 15 videos like that. You're sending them the one. This thing checks all the boxes. And so in that case, you know, the more targeted, the more relevant, the more specific, the more you can get away with. So if a potential customer sends you a typed out email and they ask you 5 questions and it takes you 8 minutes to answer those questions, but you've been back and forth with this potential customer, you've spoken with 3 of his or her colleagues, you're in the final stages, you're putting together the final sales proposal with all the specific terms custom to the account, and it takes you 8 minutes to answer those questions, they're going to watch all 8 of those minutes, because the alternative is this. You have to schedule a synchronous appointment, and some circumstances call for that. But if you can, you know, between 7 and 7:15, respond to that email first thing in the morning when you get back into the office, and you talk it for 8 minutes, they might open it up and watch it 2 minutes later, or they might watch it 2 hours later. They might watch it 2 days later, but they get the answer in full, communicated clearly with the person that's been building trust and rapport, and it's asynchronous. It's also easily forwarded to the other decision makers. So instead of having to say, I have 14 questions, let's schedule a time to meet. Okay, cool. Thursday at 2 o'clock. Was it 2 o'clock your time or 2 o'clock my time? Oh, no. 2 o'clock my time doesn't work. How about Friday? No, I don't have any opportunities on Friday. All that stuff, right? This back and forth. And so the asynchronicity of providing this more personal and more clear piece of communication is also a benefit. Again, it's not appropriate for every circumstance. Sometimes it makes sense to get on the phone. Sometimes it makes sense to get on a video call, like a Zoom call. Sometimes it makes sense to get on an airplane, travel across 8 states and meet the client or the customer in person. Sometimes it makes sense to do that. So what we're offering is this opportunity to be face-to-face at scale, repeatably, to know what's going on with your videos. And so for those moments when it is better than typed out text, and it is better to be more personal and human, but you cannot overcome both time and distance, simple personal videos allow you to do both.
And it also allows you to build on trust, rapport, and your relationship is now based on actually speaking with one another, which, look, I've come across a lot of small businesses. Well, I don't have time to talk to everybody. You better find time. That's all I can tell you. You better find time, because you're not going to keep on or find a way to do it. And this is one of those ways that you can certainly do that. I don't know why people say, oh, I just don't have time. I don't have time. To me, that's just, you need to shut your doors and get a job. You're not going to survive. People need to feel connected. They feel like they can trust you, that you can trust them, that you're going to get along. I don't know why that's so difficult. Do you?
No, I mean, I think like a lot of things, I hear all kinds of reasons why people can't or won't do this style of video. And I get it, but a lot of them are proxies for other issues. The primary issue on that is just, you know, the emotional exposure and the vulnerability required to do an honest, simple, lightweight video. In the case of, you know, prioritizing what matters, I mean, gosh, some businesses have been facing hyper competition for decades. Other businesses have been facing hyper competition for years or months. You know, here at BombBomb, again, we had no competition really in 2010, 2011, 2012 when we first started going to market in an intentional way. Now, you know, if we do Google searches and things, we find people like pop-up competitors who are specifically positioning themselves against us. So I don't care whether you are a dentist, a lawyer, a consultant, a coach, a salesperson, you know, no matter what you're doing, We're in an age of hyper competition. It's so much easier to start a business than ever. The technology is less expensive than ever. Feature parity and product parity are higher than ever. And, you know, I was just talking with a gentleman whose 12-year-old nephew basically started a software company for school principals and administrators because he was solving a problem at his own school. The principal was like, this is amazing. And so he just, you know, talked with family members who were kind of entrepreneurial, much more entrepreneurial than my family growing up. But, you know, this kid's out there selling his software solution. I mean, if a 12-year-old can be out there selling software to school principals and administrators, hyper competition is here. And so your differentiator is the experience your customers have with you and your company. And so you have to think about all the different touch points they have. Some of them are analog. Some of them are digital. Some of them are human. And I would argue that, and I love the language you use, Denise, you use the word feeling and you use the word connection. You use trust. You use rapport. The human piece of this, and it's trite to say, it's cliche, but, you know, we're more connected than ever. And by that, I mean within arm's length almost all day and all night is an internet-connected device that makes phone calls and sends texts and emails and accesses the web and all the social networks all the time. And yet we feel more disconnected than ever. We're lonelier than ever. Depression rates are higher than ever. Suicide rates, et cetera. Like it's because we're a deeply social species, and the substitutes that we've given ourselves for real time and attention, real face-to-face, real connection with other people is not as good as the digital is not as good as the real. And so we would never suggest that video is a substitute for spending time together in person, but it's certainly better than plain typed out text. Point being, to business owners and business operators, no matter your role or position, and by business, I mean organization, could be a nonprofit, could be a school, could be whatever. When you think about your role and you think about the people that you serve, whether they're internal customers or whether they're external customers, you have a chance to improve their experience with your company, your brand, however you want to think about it, your organization, and with you. All of us carries a personal brand. I know a lot of people don't like that term. I don't think of myself and my name and the work that I do online in terms of connecting and communicating with other people as personal branding per se, but I'm also not foolish enough to think that if I don't call it personal branding, that that's not what I'm doing. I know that I'm building a personal brand intentionally or unintentionally. It's happening. It's the words and thoughts and feelings and stories people have when Ethan Butte comes up in the mind or on the screen or whatever. What feelings and thoughts are associated with that? What stories are associated with that? It's the same thing for your company or your organization. And so when you think about all of the touch points that make up your customer's experience or your employee's experience, think about the ones that could be more personal and human. And those are spots where you can look someone in the eye through the camera lens and make it more personal. To your point of, you know, why don't more people do this? I think this gives you the opportunity to take 5 minutes every morning and reach out to 3 to 5 of your customers. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. It's just like, hey, Tim, it's Ethan over here at BombBomb. I noticed you just hit your 2-year anniversary as a customer. I want to say thank you so much. I wish you continued success. Hey, if you or anyone over there ever need any help, know that our whole team is here in our Colorado Springs office, eager to help you. I just want to say thank you so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday or Thursday, or I hope you have a great weekend coming up, or whatever the case may be. You can knock out, that's a 30-second video. You could knock out 3 to 5 of those in 5 minutes every day. Let's just say you do 5 to make the math easy. By the end of the week, you've touched 25 people in a truly personal way. By the end of the month, you've touched 100 people in a truly personal way. And it's 5 minutes a day. And oh, by the way, expressing gratitude, appreciation, congratulations, whatever you're doing with this type of message, whatever system you design for yourself to come up with a reason to reach out, gives you so much more satisfaction in your work. I don't know about you, Denise, but I have bad days and bad weeks, and I get frustrated and I get confused. And am I doing the right thing? And, you know, does this work really matter? And then all of a sudden someone sends you a positive note that's like, this podcast changed my day, or I so appreciate the work that you do, or hey, check out this great result I just got. And it immediately fills you back up again. What you're doing is setting yourself up to have a lot more of those conversations. And so it's this give and take of real connection. It's not contrived. And by the way, if you're not sincere about these messages, don't do them, because people will feel that insincerity. But this is just a much more satisfying and effective way to build relationships and ultimately grow our business, because those relationships are foundational. And if those relationships are there, you're either A, going to lose the business, or B, you need to figure out how to automate the heck out of it and figure out how to cut margin, because hyper competition is going to demand it, unless you can build that trust, rapport, and relationship that commands a premium and makes people happy to do business with you.
Exactly. Listen, I am a highly committed introvert. Anybody who follows me or listens to me knows this. I almost never want to leave my home. I do. Obviously, I have to. But I am perfectly happy all by myself, under a tree, talking to my cat, reading a book. But I do love to connect with other people. There is that human touch. I mean, I will, you know, Facebook, somebody will, oh, you just missed a call on Facebook. Oh, really? How did I manage that? But when people will just reach out to you for no reason at all, just to say, hey, how are you doing? I was thinking of you. It's a bump in how you feel good. I mean, you instantly bump up your, oh, I'm having a better day, just all of a sudden. So I completely understand what you're talking about. I mean, this does make so much sense to me, but I have to ask you, as an introvert and as somebody who absolutely is camera phobic, I mean, big time since I was 5, and no, I've had people offer to help me fix it. I don't want to fix it. I'm happy with no pictures out there. But the thing is, I kept having this question as you were talking, because I think this is a fabulous idea, and I don't always want to pick up, you know, I got a Facebook phone call. I may not have time, but if I can, you know, watch something later, perfect. My question for you is, and we haven't talked about this, so I don't have any idea how you're going to respond, but I have a giant monitor. I have 3 monitors on my desk, but my primary one is this giant monitor. There is no camcorder on it. There's no recording at all except voice. Is there a way for you guys to do just audio, or are you committed to video? Because I like the idea of audio as well.
Well, what I would say is any video format you want to upload, you can send as a video. And by that, I mean if you wanted to take a snippet of our podcast.
Like
and
a
send
Zoom
it to,
or something?
Yeah, well, you could take a snippet of the podcast, put a graphic underneath it, or like, you know, the little audio waveform, and send it out to maybe an email list that you've cultivated, fans of the show, to, you know, give a little taste of, you know, this episode's guest. You're going to want to go check it out, you know, and if you haven't subscribed, you can do that kind of a thing. In general, though, we are definitely committed to this idea that face-to-face is better and that you are better in person. And so, you know, for you, Denise, I don't know you that well, but I would call you in this circumstance a little bit of a special case. Because what is...
My
what
mom
is,
said
is,
the same thing.
So
I've always been a special case.
You know, and I don't mean that. You know, we're all special in our own way. But, you know, what is common in your position is that very few people are comfortable the first time they see themselves on camera and hear their voice. I'll never forget the first time I heard my voice on audio. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but my grandfather gave me this little tape deck, let's say. It was about as big as, you know, 6 bricks stacked together and about just as heavy. And it had, you know, the speaker on one side, you know, a square speaker. And then it had like a, you know, a tape deck with the record and pause and play and fast forward thing on the other side, and maybe had a handle on it. And my next door neighbor and I would record, you know, fake radio commercials and fake radio shows and things. And I'll never forget the first time we recorded something and then we played it back, and I recognized my friend Eli's voice, but I heard the other one. I was like, who the heck is that? And, you know, we're not used to hearing ourselves and we're not used to seeing ourselves. And at the same time, because we've been relying on typed out text for so long and cultivating what goes into our LinkedIn profile and cultivating what goes into our Facebook feed and all these other things, we are used to a very, very, very high level of control over how we present ourselves in emails and social media, et cetera.
Good
point. So there is a layer of vulnerability here in this video where, you know, you're letting go a little bit. You're letting go of the need for control. In that process of letting go, you're going to experience some risk, uncertainty, and emotional exposure. And what is deep underneath that is this fear of judgment and fear of rejection is among our greatest human fears. Our brains are ancient. They're millennia old. When you think about what would happen if you were judged and rejected and, say, kicked out of the tribe 1,000 years ago, you would die in the desert or the forest or wherever you got kicked out, right? You needed the social group. You needed the tribe to survive. Now we're in this weird situation where we still have the same deep human needs of human connection, judgment, belonging, acceptance, all of these things. We still need all of this. And yet we've wrapped ourselves up in this, you know, a lot of, just generically speaking, modernity that tells us that, well, and especially in Western culture, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, a high degree of individualism, you know, generally a cultural turn against collectivism, which, you know, some people would pejoratively start throwing words around like socialism. But this idea that we need to love and support one another is still as true today and maybe even more true today than ever. And so we fear judgment and rejection. So when you see yourself on the screen, you think, I'm not good enough, or is this good enough? Is this video good enough? Is my lighting good enough? Did I say it right? I said, I had to stop and restate myself. My hair is funny. My collar is turned crooked. Like all of these things that you're all wrapped up in your own head about. You are your own harshest critic by far, not even close. When you reach out with some of the videos we talked about before, a thank you or a congratulations, or I've been thinking about you. When someone receives that video and they play it, they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about them. They're thinking about themselves and the way that you just made them feel. They're not looking at you saying like, man, I really would have liked that congratulatory message better if, you know, if her hair was just a little bit different, or, you know, if she was wearing a different color shirt or blouse or jacket, you know. That's not that. I would have really appreciated that thank you message more if he didn't have to restate himself. You know, no one's saying that. Just like when we're sitting across the table over coffee or lunch, we're not in our own heads about what we're looking like, what we're sounding like, what we're saying and all of that, nor are we judging the other person. Now, if someone says, you know, a blatant falsehood or they do something really silly or crazy over the top, it's obviously remarkable and you pause and you maybe question it in your own head or even talk about it with the other person as it happens. But those, you know, those are few and far between. What I'm talking about is just basic, normal human tendencies in the course of conversation. You carry yourself through the world all day, every day. And, you know, you look in the mirror and you fix yourself up like in the morning, you know, you shower, you get dressed, you make sure you got a good look on and you go about your day. And you're going to meetings and you're going to appointments and you're interacting with people. You're maybe doing, I do a bunch of video calls, like live video calls. And I'm never in my own head. And, but somehow, you know, in the first 5-10 videos I did, I was dramatically in my own head. Does this look right? Does this sound right? Did I say it right? And all these other things. And so I'll wrap it up here. That's what you have in common, Denise, with everyone else who's listening. Odds are, if you decided that this was okay to try, you would experience in your first 1 to 7 videos a high degree of, I can't do this, I shouldn't do this, this isn't right for me, this is right for other people. But I promise you, your 10th video is going to be better than your 5th, and your 30th video is going to be better than your 12th. And it's a process of getting better and better. You're never going to pick up a book of German and instantly speak the language. You're not going to watch a video about skiing and all of a sudden be able to successfully ski down a steep mountain. You're not going to pick up a French horn at a music store and instantly be able to play. And so there's no reason to expect that this, I mean, this is a new skill set in a way. And by the way, the skills are highly transferable. I did no public speaking. I never delivered webinars. I didn't do anything like guest on podcasts or anything. But now that I've done, initially it was hundreds and then it was thousands and now it's over 10,000 videos, these skills are highly transferable. I'm so much more comfortable in my own skin. I'm so much more comfortable talking through ideas because it's a new skill. It's a useful skill and it's highly transferable to other circumstances as well. And so, you know, Denise, I don't have a prescription specifically for someone who just really doesn't like to have her picture taken. I mean, I take pictures all the time and my wife's like, no, that cannot go on social media or please delete that one, right? But I can still take her picture. There's just a level of editing there and that's natural. And you might feel the same way about some of your earliest videos and that's okay. But I would highly encourage anyone who buys even half of what I've shared so far to try it out and know that it's perfectly normal not to be comfortable out of the gate.
Oh, I was that way. I mean, I completely understand what you're talking about because I've been podcasting for 11 years now and I'm still surprised by that. But when I first started and I would listen, you know, because I wanted to know what was going on, how was I doing? And I listened to my first four or five podcasts and I cringed. I mean, honestly, Ethan, I kept waiting for myself to say, "Happy birthday, Mr. President." I think I sound ridiculous. Apparently nobody else thinks that, but I think I do. So I just don't listen. I mean, I'm in the moment. I'm talking with you now. I'm thoroughly enjoying myself. I'm bent forward listening to you very, very intensely because we're speaking. It's one-on-one. It's very personal to me. But I don't go listen to them. So I completely get what you're talking about. But when I started, my podcast now has gone through, nothing has changed. The name has always been the same, but it's gone through several generations, if you will, of how I do it, how I talk with people, how I get people on the show. It's constantly growing and evolving. So I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the same thing. I encourage people not to watch the video back. Just send it. I mean, I'll just expand on that practice piece. You know, when I say practice, I don't mean act like you're going to record a video. I mean, record a video. And by practice, I don't mean record a video and then don't send it. I mean, record a video and send it. Record a video, record five videos to say again, thank you, congratulations, I was thinking about you. I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother. Congratulations to your son or daughter. You know, whatever the case may be, or thank you so much for being a customer. I promise that if you send 5 or 10 of those, you're going to get a few replies that let you know immediately that this is different and better. You're going to get things like all caps or multiple exclamation points or smiley face emojis or thank you so much for taking the time to do that for me, right? In the case that you're responding to an inquiry to answer a question, I mean, you probably saved yourself a massive amount of time. I get that one all the time. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I'm like, I saved myself about 4 or 5 minutes. So you will get this positive feedback loop and this affirmation that lets you know it's going well. Just like you, Denise, out of the gate, you know, you maybe got some emails that were like, hey, thanks so much for the show. I really love this particular interview. Or, you know, you get that iTunes review from someone you didn't even know was listening. And these are like those affirmations to let you know, even if I'm not perfectly comfortable in this yet, I'm putting myself out into the world. People are receiving it well. And I'm getting some positive signs of feedback to let me know that I'm on the right track, encourage me to keep going.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is, I don't even remember now why I started doing the podcast. I think because, you know, back in the day, I sound like I'm 100 years old. It wasn't that long ago. I promise you it wasn't. But back in the day, everybody and their grandmother who was a guru, and they still exist, it just insisted you've got to have videos, you've got to be on YouTube, you've got to do this, and you've got to... I don't know about you, Ethan, but you can't tell me I've got to do anything. I instantly bow up and go, no, I don't. Half the time I stick with that because it really is not in my wheelhouse or even my interest. And other times, like listening with you, I'm like, let me think about this. This sounds really interesting. Now, whether I'll do it or not, I don't know. I mean, my need for privacy is deeply ingrained in me, so probably not, but I sure as heck would, you know, tell my clients, you need to listen to this podcast. You need to look at what they're doing. I think this would work for you. So right there, you've got a referral partner in me because I think what you're doing is amazing.
Yeah, it's again. Thank you for that. I think the reason that it resonates is that I think we can all recognize that there's too much automation. There's not enough of a personal touch. That this is not exactly the world that we imagined for ourselves when we started releasing and normalizing all of this use of technology. That there is something more fundamental and core that we can explore and enjoy every day while being more effective in our work. And so, I mean, we've had these HD cameras built into our laptops and our tablets and our smartphones for years. I mean, so I used to shoot a ton of photos. I still do, actually. I have, thousands on Instagram. I used to carry around, though, like a DSLR, and I still own it. It's a nice Olympus Micro Four Thirds camera. I have like 5 different lenses for it. I enjoy using them in their appropriate situations. I loved going on, a 10 or 20 mile hike and shooting photos along the way and kind of like structuring them and putting them up online in order to tell the story of the trail and of the area. And, you know, I would shoot these photos and I would edit them and all these other things. And I really enjoy doing that, but the camera on the new iPhone is better than my camera at this point, even though I spent, $850 or $1,200 on the body and a few hundred bucks on every one of the lenses. You know, the new iPhone 11 Pro is just as nice. In fact, probably higher resolution. It has cooler technology built into it where you shoot one photo and you can look at it 3 different ways. It's just insane. So we're carrying around these internet-connected devices with cameras built into them already, and none of that is new. And so why is it that we keep clicking send in the same way that we've done for the past 4 decades in order to communicate our most important and most valuable messages? And so I'm not proposing that everyone has to do this or even everyone should do this, although I do think almost everyone should do this. Specifically, what I'm not saying everyone should do is only send video. There are spots in your day, there are spots in your week where you can be more clear in what you're saying, or you can have someone feel like they know you before they meet you, or you can manage this piece of feedback or even criticism, but do it in a way that allows the person to feel good about it, you know, where you kind of wrap some positive with some negative, and it's all done in a spirit of a constructive approach. You know, you actually care about the person and you're trying to help them be better. There are moments throughout your week where you would definitely be better saying it in person. And so that's all I'm advocating for is think about that. You already have the tools and the equipment and the technology. Relationships matter as much or more than ever. And, you know, you're typically going to explain things better by talking instead of typing.
I agree with you. One thing that I would be concerned about, though, because it happens all the time, is somebody says, oh, this is a really neat technology. I'm going to do this all the time. And then all of a sudden you are wearing people out. I mean, think about, Facebook marketing. If I'm added somehow to somebody's Facebook bot, I'm going to be upset. I don't want to be on your Facebook bot. I don't want you nagging the bejeebers out of me. So my thinking is that, and you've already done it, I would caution people to use things judiciously, not just, oh, this is so neat, I'm going to do this all the time. That's a really bad idea. You know, use all of your techniques, all of your technologies, email, Zoom, telephone. I like the telephone. I mean, just pick your poison, I guess, is not really what I want to say, but pick the right tool for the right time is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely right. It's the right tool for the right job. A handwritten note or a canned piece of direct mail might be useful too. I mean, it's the right tool for the right job. I think so often, when I was coming into BombBomb and we were still very email marketing oriented because we had not yet developed these lighter weight, quick send one-to-one tools and practices. The line at the time was email is dead, right? Email's dead. No one reads emails anymore. Email's going away. And of course, it's ludicrous. It's just as powerful as ever, and it remains the number one channel for digital ROI. That said, it's one tool, and it has some appropriate applications, but you don't exclusively communicate with people through email. And so you're exactly right. It's a both and. You know, I think, but a lot of people, especially for drama, especially if you're looking for advice online, there's so much clickbait out there that they really like to go to this either or. And there are a variety of tools, technologies, processes, and practices that have been declared dead over the years. And basically all of them are still alive.
No kidding. Listen, Ethan, our 60 minutes went way too fast. Where can people find you on the web?
Thank you so much for the time, Denise. I love your questions. I appreciate that you share this vision for a more personal way to communicate. Again, my name is Ethan Butte. Last name is B-E-U-T-E. You can find me on LinkedIn. I welcome your connection request, especially if you add a note. You can also communicate with me directly. It's just Ethan, E-T-H-A-N, at bombbomb.com. And if you want to visit the website, try out the software for free. It's just bombbomb.com. It's the word bomb twice, B-O-M-B, B-O-M-B.com. And we would love to help you get face-to-face with the people who matter most to your life and your business.
And very quickly, where can they find your book?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's called Rehumanize Your Business. You can find it in Amazon, or you can learn more about it by going to bombbomb.com/book. And there you can buy it from a variety of retailers, including IndieBound, if you're a, you know, an independent business-minded person rather than Amazon-minded person.
Perfect. Ethan, thank you so much. It has been wonderful speaking with you today, and I really thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience. And honestly, I think I'd like to have you come back one time and talk about the book. We didn't really touch on that, and I did want to. So let's talk about that another time. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Ethan, thank you so much.
Thank you. I sincerely appreciate the time.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.